Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, traders and investors. Welcome to Friday's edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm your co-host, Joel Elkanen, along with Dennis Dick. And that's all, folks. It's just me and Dennis. I'm running the controls today. Let's talk about the market. The rally continues. S&Ps are in the green. Netflix in the red after Q4 report. Tesla slashes workforce by 7%. That's trading in the red. CVS inks a deal with Walmart. We will talk about a few other stocks with earnings as well. J.B. Hunt, AXP, Schlumberger this morning, along with VF Corp. We are joined at 8:15 by Paul LaMonica. He's the digital correspondent at CNN Business. Triple D, talk to me.
Fast intro. What's going on?
That's right. I only gave you a minute.
You gave me like 2 seconds when you threw Triple D talk to me. Like, whoop, unmute, quickly unmute. You know what? This market is so resilient. I mean, it doesn't matter. Netflix disappoints to a certain extent. Tesla, bad news. Market goes straight up. I mean, just as opposite as it was in December, where they would find the bad news in anything, they find the good news in anything in this market. And BTFD is back, and it's been back for a while here now, but back big time. Like, I mean, just look at a stock like Fiserv, FISV. Got hit on the initial takeover, FDC, and here it is 3 days later, right back up there. So BTFD, man, it's back.
Yeah, and we are over the 50% retracement. I talked about that as a potential target. That had taken that away. And when you get into the daily charts, it's just not a lot up here, as you can see in the S&Ps. We will pull that up and see, hey, you know, where we're going, where we're possibly going here. It's just a resilient market. I did not give the crude oil futures there. Crude is trading in the green by 58 cents at 52.65. Gold is struggling at 1300. We talked about that resistance yesterday with our guest, Adam Button. Silver in the red, too. And Bitcoin, how's our Bitcoin doing today, Dennis? Does anybody
still trading?
It's still trading. Down $37.50 at 35.65.
It's been in the 3000s, I feel like, forever.
We got a little academic yesterday with Professor Jim Angel here, but it's been really quiet. The trading ranges.
Jim Angel could not have been more correct. When he was on our show a year ago and Bitcoin was at 19 or 20,000, he said eventually this will just fizzle out. It isn't going to crash. It's just going to slowly fizzle out and just keep leaking and drifting down. It's went and continued to leak and drip down all the way from 19,000 to 3,000. He thinks it's going to continue. He was right at 19,000. I don't see any reason why he's going to be wrong at 3,500. So, but you know what I found interesting was he actually believed in Ethereum, though, I believe he said, didn't he? Ethereum Classic?
He did.
So he wasn't just a hater on all crypto. He just wasn't a believer in Bitcoin. And I think he was just saying the way it was structured that eventually it wouldn't be worth it for the miners to mine it. The electricity costs would be too high. And eventually this just isn't going to work out. So, you know, he got not just in, and we kind of just take it at face value and say, I don't get it. I'm not going to use it. He kind of dove into details on it and why he thinks it's going to fizzle out. I mean, there's nobody, Jim Angel, you know, I respect very much. He knows so much about so many things, you know, especially with equity market structure, knows so much. So when he's got an opinion like that, I take it, you know, seriously there. So he's not a believer in the Bitcoin.
All right. Well, we got 11 minutes here before we bring our first guest on and our only guest. That will be Mr. LaMonica. So let's go to the Netflix report here.
Sure.
And we weren't long it, you know, coming into it, but we sure knew that if you were going into that report, boy, oh boy, it would have been hard to stay long it. I mean, you know,
it was going to struggle to go higher. I mean, so much good news baked in, but you know what? It's holding up pretty darn good, Joel, because I don't think any of these numbers really blew it away. And you would think after that run, it was going to have to blow it away. But There are some shorts still in here that are scratching their head this morning because I think they, you know, were thinking, oh, maybe we're going to see. And even on Fast Money, everybody dogged this on Fast Money. So Fast Money last night, the stock's trading around 343, 344. Gene Munster comes in, starts talking a little bit bearish about it. And Gene's influential. When he started talking bearish, it started going down. Next guest, Carter Worth, comes on 2 minutes after Gene and gives the whole scenario that he thinks it's going down too. And then everybody gangs up on a Fast Money. And I watched Fast Money take that thing from 343, 344, all the way down to 347. It just continued to leak. Then the conference call came on. It stabilized a little bit after the conference call. And it's back up to where it was when Fast Money was basically trashing it. So, you know, we've talked about this a long time. Fast Money is very influential, especially when you get certain individuals on there. We know Gene Munster, everybody follows him closely. And if you're sitting there, you're waiting, you know, well, what do analysts think about that? Well, the first one you're really hearing from, you know, is Gene. And, like, obviously he's not, a regular analyst, but he follows the sector very closely. And he was concerned. He thought it would be down more on this. And it's not. You know what? It's holding up, and it's fairly resilient. I threw a bold call in the chat last night saying I think it could go green. I don't know if I think it or not. It's stabilized so much that I'm not sure if it can now. But I'll tell you, man, it's holding up a lot better, and I don't think green is completely off the table here.
The Straddle Riders, I think Spinner put in the chat last night, it was $30. And
kill.
I know.
Oh, the Straddle Riders are making money. Sorry, the Riders are making money. The Straddle Buyers are killed.
Let me give you the report real quick here. You had an EPS of a 6 cents. That was 30 cents versus street estimates of 24. Slight revenue miss or sales miss, 4.19 versus 4.21 estimates. Global paid net additions of 8.9 million. I guess they were looking for a little bit more of that. When you break it down here, Netflix reports Q4 average paid membership up 26% year over year. What did they say about the content? That was the one thing that Michael Pachter has been always concerned about, was the content costs. So if the content costs are going up, it's going to be hard for them to maintain.
Well, content costs are going to continue to go up because they need to have an angle. I mean, let's just think about this, and think about if you're running Netflix. This is my opinion. But if you're not coming up with good content, you're seeing on Netflix, all you're getting is basically, it's a lot of the same stuff. So you've got to have new content all the time to keep people interested. I mean, it's like anything. If you don't have content, why are people going to be interested? I mean, you can watch your old movies on it and that's all good. But people are logging in for the new content. And we know Disney eventually is going to have their own thing. So they're not going to eventually be feeding Netflix content. There's still Disney movies on Netflix, I believe. Maybe Jack can help me out with it. But they've hinted multiple times that Disney's going to pull their stuff off and obviously run their own content, and through their Hulu or whatever it is. So, I mean, Disney, I still believe, is the best content producer in the world. And they make the movies they make are just fantastic. But Netflix makes some pretty good stuff, too. So they're going to spend money. And you've got to spend money to make money, Joel. So I don't think I buy that, just because content is going to increase the cost of that that's necessarily bad for the stock. I think it's necessary. I think they've got to have good content and good new shows in order to keep the viewers interested.
Let's break it down technically here. Big spike on the report, up and down. I will just give you
What was the low?
The pre-market low.
After hours would have been last night.
Yeah, you will correct me on that. The after hours low comes in right 332.37. Yeah. So you're $10 off that. I mean, I look at the daily chart here and I say, whoa, that was a big rally there. A lot of gaps, a lot of open areas. I guess a double bottom area to lean on. You got a couple areas. You got 329, which we haven't hit yet. You had a pair of lows there, and then you had a pair of lows at 313, but we're not even there yet. And what happens is why this is not getting slammed is because so many people are stuck short this
thing. I think so.
Yeah.
That's what we said coming in. We said the same thing. I was like, I don't think they're going to kill this thing down to 300. I think if you think that, I think you're wrong because, there's a lot of people, who made money, but there's a lot of people who, if you were short this thing and you're like, okay, I'm going to get the pullback, the pullback never came. I mean, it was a V bottom. Not even a V. The up was a lot, the up move was a lot quicker than the 2 month down move, which we thought was intense. So if you got short, 245, 250, 260, and you're one of those that's like, well, it'll come back in, I'll get covered. You're scrambling here still. And now you get disappointing numbers, and it's still not coming in for you. You're a little bit panicking this morning. So you're not feeling great. It's down 10 bucks. If you shorted it yesterday, sure, you're up money. But if you're short from 300 and you got this report and the numbers weren't that great and you thought, okay, well, maybe it would come down for you here, you're not getting rewarded for that. So I think you got shorts still scrambling around here a little bit too. And I still think, and I would throw it out there right now, I think 380 on this before 300.
Okay, I don't, I, yeah.
You want to do a bet?
No.
Or you're on the same side as me.
I'm running the show.
You bull over there, Joe. You got the bull hat on.
I mean, how can you make money be embarrassed in this market?
You could have done November and December. And I'm still not fully in the bull camp here, even though I said if we got up above 2,600 on the S&Ps that I'd start to get interested. And I do have a few longs on right now, a few swing longs right now. But, you know, my portfolio is still underinvested, so I would love a pullback for that reason. From an investing standpoint, I want a pullback. From a trading standpoint, now I'm playing the long side a little bit, so I don't mind the rallies. But I don't know, man. I just think, it's, you know, they're shrugging off bad news here again.
Well, Des, so, you're tactical, and you take stuff off and put it back on
Even last night, you know, Netflix, okay, I threw out the call, and I thought it could go green. But then when Gene starts talking bearish on Fast Money, I put a day trading short on it. As soon as he started talking bearish and then Carter came on bearish too, I'm like, that's going to knock it down. And, you know, the scalper blood in me, I covered too soon. But I was able to make a little bit of money off the Fast Money bearishness, even though I was kind of, you know, overall still bullish the stock. And I'm still bullish the stock. I will still trade things, you know, within long short all the time. So, you know, everything is tradable. You just have to have your out, and everything on information is tradable too. I mean, it's all about, you know, a lot of my day trading strategies are all just information based. And when you get new information, you know, if somebody, you know, like Gene Munster coming out with an opinion on something, he can knock the price down, and he did last night. And they respect, and Carter moves stuff too. You know, he's the technical guy on Fast Money there. And I think Carter moves stuff, you know, of all the regular guests that come on Fast Money, Carter moves stuff the most. He'll come on with his bearish, you know, thesis on something, and the stock sometimes will fall 1% just because Carter's talked bearish about it and showed a chart there. So, I mean, you've got to respect, you know, obviously people's opinions when they can move price.
All right, let's get one more report in here, and let's go to Schlumberger. I like to call it Schlumberger. A miss by a penny on the Q4 EPS, 36 versus 37, but the street is liking the sales beat here. It doesn't matter.
The street just doesn't want to sell stocks right now. It's all about sentiment towards stocks right now. They see something dip. Did this dip in the pre-market? I wasn't watching it. What's the pre-market? Talk to me about the pre-market.
No dip.
They don't even dip it now. They just buy. So they didn't miss by enough. Let's buy it. I mean, it's a stock that's been beat up heavily too. From $60 in October down to $35, stabilizing at $41. Now you start to break out here a little bit. I don't mind this chart either. I mean, a lot of these charts, Halliburton too, and Halliburton moves with Schlumberger, and it's trading up. It had a nice candle yesterday. It kind of cut through 30 just to shake out anybody who was leaning on 30 long, and then turns around on a dime and goes up, and then closed fairly strong. I kind of like that Halliburton chart coming in. Now you get Schlumberger helping it out, SLB. I mean, there's no reason here to get all excited on the bear camp.
And, boy, you had a wall at $42, just under that, and now you're trading well above that. Your pre-market high comes in at 42.87, but just looks like a sleepy chart, and now it's just starting to bust out here. I mean, it's been a serial under, really didn't go up when oil went up, and it went down.
No, it's been terrible.
Yeah, yep. And it went down when oil went down. But, man, bunch of tight ranges ahead of the report. What did this trade in? Basically, 40.5 to 42 for the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8, 9 sessions. Now you're busting out to the upside. I still like to see it stay above 42. Maybe try and buy it on the cheap there. Maybe looking for 43. I see a pair of highs.
43 is easy to do.
Yeah, 43.
I'm thinking it could go, and not today, but I'm thinking you got room almost to 45. Okay. So you're 42.60 right now. I'm a buyer of pullbacks in Schlumberger. I'm a buyer of pullbacks in a lot of things here. Because I tell you, man, the bulls are in control here. Right now they're interpreting all news as being good, it seems like. So you get a trade deal or you get something going on there, cooking, it'll really take off this market. So I'd be scared if I was short the market.
And we didn't even talk about that's what kickstarted things yesterday. You know, was deal, no deal with China here.
Deal or no deal.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, let's see if I
can. We'll talk Tesla in a few minutes, but maybe we can talk Tesla with Paulo Monaco. We're going to go get him.
Okay. All right. I am going to take a quick break here, I think, and we're going to dial up Mr. LaMonica. Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm your co-host, Joel Elkanen, joined by Paul LaMonica. He's the digital correspondent at CNN. Paul, how you doing this morning?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
Good, good. Well, we were just talking about how this is just a buy the dip market here. And forget about November, forget about December. Here we are coming back on new all-time highs. What a short memory the market has.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously all the concerns, worries about, you know, tariffs and a trade war with China slowing global economy, you know, that's been replaced by, you know, optimism that maybe there will be a deal with China. And strangely enough, I think, you know, Apple's earnings warning from a few weeks ago maybe set the bar a lot lower for fourth quarter profits. And I think companies now are, you know, able to, you know, report that, yes, things are starting to slow down a little bit with regards to earnings growth, but it might not be the end of the world because it's still pretty solid growth. It's just not going to be like the first three quarters of last year when we had the maybe artificial sugar rush from, you know, stimulus.
What a great point. You know, Apple, and I was thinking about that saying the Barlow, because, you know, you get Netflix numbers here, and Netflix had an incredible run ahead of the report. And you're looking at it, you're like, these aren't that great. And they've sold the stock off. But you know what? It's holding up pretty darn good, considering we've run up 110 points, you know, 50% here in 2.5 weeks. You'd think when they don't blow it away, that it's probably going to go a lot lower. And we're only down 10 bucks here on Netflix, so holding it up. So maybe that lower bar that Apple set even helping Netflix this morning.
Yeah, Netflix is down, you know, 3% pre-market, which isn't too bad when, as you point out, I mean, this is a stock that had already gone up, you know, more than 25% just this year alone, let alone, you know, the huge rally it has going back, you know, a couple of months. I think that, you know, clearly there's nothing wrong, so to speak, with Netflix. It's really just going to be about expectations and how high the bar has been raised by, you know, Reed Hastings and co there. But, you know, I wouldn't be worried about Netflix at this point. If any, I mean, it's still going to look like it's going to open in the red. But you know, as you point out, down only 3% almost seems like a moral victory.
Yeah, it does. And what about Tesla news this morning? We haven't talked about this yet on the show. Tesla coming out, cutting some of the workforce. It seems like every time the stock gets momentum going, it comes out with another bad headline. But also, I mean, we kind of had a warning there just, you know, at the end of the year, the stock went from 340 down to 300 and it bounced right back again. It seems like this stock, even when it does get sold off, eventually buyers just re-emerge here. First of all, your thoughts on Tesla cutting the workforce, and secondly, your thoughts on Tesla just as a stock.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, obviously, that they are having to cut the workforce. You know, obviously, Elon Musk, you know, referring to the year being, you know, a very challenging one. And, you know, they are having growing pains, obviously, as they, you know, try and become, you know, a more mainstream car company with the launch of the Model 3. So it seems as if they, you know, you hate to use some of the jargon, but they may have to right size the workforce to, you know, get the right number of people in place for what, you know, they can actually produce and what demand is going to be. It's so hard to figure out what is going to happen with Tesla going forward because it remains such a cult stock, both for the longs and the shorts. And, you know, as long as Elon Musk is Elon Musk, I think you still have to be just a tiny bit wary. It's the type of company where I just wonder why he doesn't get more help. Like, I don't think he should be boasting about sleeping at the factory in order to make sure that the company's meeting its production targets. He needs a real CEO in the same way that he has one at SpaceX. There's no shame in admitting that you need some help. The best companies in the world all have great executives underneath them, and you just don't see that at Tesla. So, just the demands on Elon Musk's time.
Yeah.
He's still, last time I checked, actually a flesh and blood carbon-based human being and not a cyborg. Yet, at least, it's got to be, I think, a concern for some investors.
I mean, that's the wild card.
Try and find a way to become a cyborg sometime before.
He might figure that out.
This mortal coil, yeah.
But regardless here, his health is obviously also a concern here, too. But, I mean, the stock's resilient, too. In the face of bad news, it seems to keep bouncing back. So maybe it's just because everybody loves the story. Let's move to these bank earnings, because the banks came out before we got the Morgan Stanley report, they were all looking pretty good. I mean, Morgan Stanley disappointed, but overall, I would say, a grade A here for the banks, because Citigroup up significantly on their report, JP Morgan rallied, Goldman Sachs rallied $16 after reporting. The only one to disappoint was Morgan Stanley. What were your thoughts about the banks?
Yeah, I think, A may be a little bit charitable, but okay. they definitely weren't bad. I mean, I think A minus B plus, is a good grade for them, but because, the volatility in the markets at the end of last year, really hitting the fixed income side of things, that's why Morgan Stanley got whacked yesterday. They had the biggest drop year over year in their, bond trading revenue, down about 30%. Goldman Sachs, I think, has reclaimed the title as the king of Wall Street in light of the strong M&A advisory work they've done, the IPO underwriting. So, I think Goldman has gotten back on track, after a tough year last year, David Solomon, new CEO there, kind of, setting a new tone. I thought it was very interesting that he was very forthcoming in apologizing about the 1MDB Malaysian scandal. I'm not so sure that's the type of thing that we would have gotten from Lloyd Blankfein per se. I mean, I'm speculating, obviously, but it does seem like it's maybe a kinder, gentler, humbler Goldman Sachs now under Solomon. So we'll see how that goes going forward.
Let's move on here to the retail sector here. And it seems like everybody, did you buy the little buzzes, a bunch of gifts? It seems like everybody spent pretty well during the holiday season, but man, you couldn't tell by looking at these retailers. Let's talk just retailers in general and ideas on some other ones, maybe Walmart.
Yeah, I think, we're obviously going to get a lot of retail earnings in the next few weeks, particularly early February. I wouldn't be too worried about consumer spending per se, but I think that there are individual retailers that are struggling. Macy's still has a lot to do to prove that it can have a legitimate long-term turnaround. It's no secret that companies like Amazon, Walmart, and Target have really stepped it up, even more, with, again, to use the jargon, the buzzwords, but omni-channel, multi-channel is really such a big thing in retail right now. I mean, everyone thought Amazon was going to kill all of retail because the internet was going to kill brick and mortar. And that's not really the case at all, because Amazon obviously recognizes that brick and mortar in a physical retail space, having that presence is important as well. I think that's actually more scary than anything else for the rest of, retail than Amazon, realizes that, it doesn't want to kill brick and mortar, it wants to join them. And then therefore it's going to kill bad retailers, whether or not they're online retailer focused or brick and mortar. I think, the bar has been raised and companies just have to have better customer service, better merchandising, better pricing, better everything. And, for some, it's going to be a tough road, because even the ones that start doing things right are going to have to take some probably short-term hits to profits in order to invest.
What about the Signet Jewelers move here? Getting down 25% yesterday. It's down here again this morning. Citigroup downgrade and to sell, a little late to the party there from Citigroup. But regardless here, when they're kicking them when they're down, I mean, is this like a long-term thing? I think about it and I was like, are the young, new millennials there still wearing jewelry or going and wearing maybe they're wearing jewelry, but I don't know if they're wearing fancy gold and diamonds. And it seems like people don't, the luster, I would say, for no pun intended, just has seems to have left, on jewelry.
Yeah, and I think also you could argue that, how fancy is some of the jewelry that you're getting from from Signet. I mean, they're not exactly Tiffany, obviously, you know, the mall-based stores that they have. And, you know, we all know about how a lot of people aren't going to shopping malls anymore. You know, I think, you know, the emergence of, you know, a lot of these, you know, crafts, you know, online crafts retailers, you know, you look at something like Etsy where you can find lots of custom made jewelry, for example. I don't think it's a case where, you know, we all know about how people aren't wearing watches as much anymore, unless they're smart watches, because, you know, you just need your phone. You know, I think people are still wearing necklaces and rings and bracelets. They're just not wearing the type of stuff that, you know, you would go to Jared for. Every kiss no longer seems to begin with K.
All right, just before we let you go, Paul, here, I mean, you know, the political situation here, the trade tariffs, I mean, that rally yesterday was on, you know, was on rumors that deal, no deal here. I mean, definitely hurting, you know, the Chinese market. We've rebounded here. I mean, you think that
is... Futures are up this morning.
Yep, the futures are up this morning. Now, we do have some economic data coming out, I believe, over the weekend, and our markets are closed on Monday, so it could be interesting here. But just, you know, just a comment about, you know, the government shutdown and the trade tariffs and everything. I mean, still, the market's bouncing back well with those issues here.
I think the government still, I mean, I'm sorry, the market, I think investors are still not that concerned about the shutdown just yet. I can't imagine that can stay that way indefinitely if this drags on significantly longer. You know, that being said, the trade talks with China, any inkling, evidence that there could be some progress in a deal between the two countries, I think would clearly be viewed as positive by the markets. I don't think investors like having to spend this much time following politics. We all know that usually it's earnings and economic data that drives the markets. So we are in this unusual sort of environment where they have to be following Trump tweets maybe a little bit more than they would like, regardless of their political leanings.
Okay. We've been on the line with Paul LaMonica. He's a digital correspondent at CNN and one of my favorite follows on Twitter. I think I've mentioned that before. So, Paul, great having you on. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it.
All right, S&P futures staying in the green here at 26.47 and a quarter. That's up 12 handles. Pre-market high stands at 49 and a quarter. That's all we're looking at. A couple targets on the upside for you, folks. 26.52.75 was your December 14th high. And then you got like another 23 handles up to the December 13th high at 26.75 in a quarter. Then it's a couple minutes past imbalances here.
Yeah.
Buy imbalances, I assume.
Some third Friday of the month. So remember, they're always big and they're always wild on option expiration. You almost can't look at the opening imbalances as much as you can on a normal day because there's going to be so many large institutional orders that are going to be coming in the next hour, you know, offsetting, jockeying their options positions against the stock. So there's going to be a lot more size there. So if you see something with 100,000 share buy imbalance, you know, at the last second, Fidelity might come in and say, okay, you got them. Or, you know, maybe there's somebody else, you know, the market maker say you got them. And maybe there's 200,000 to sell. They hold their orders tight. So as of right now, we're seeing a mix. So Square, which had a monster day yesterday, I still think kicked off from Steve Grasso on CNBC Fast Money because he was saying it's takeover candidate. It had a huge move yesterday. It's up again here this morning. $70 psychological. It's got 54,000 to buy here this morning. That's, you know, early though because that can change. But I'll just say the psychological $70 level is in play here. It's not even psychological. I can see some institutional size there too. I do see 96,000 shares available at 70. So call 100,000. Shares to go at 70. That's the first bogey. Now, on options expiration, there could be enough volume just to take that out right off the hop, but you're up $1.08. Now you're finding resistance right there at 70. It could struggle to open over 70.
So are you less inclined to go on the opens on days like this? I know you'd like to...
No, these are my best days. So just pricing inefficiency. So stocks open, you know, stock opens ridiculously too low relative to where the S&P is, or stock opens ridiculously too high relative to the S&P is. They're opening too high relative. I'm going to short it. If they're opening too low relative, I'm going to buy it, trying to pull out all the news and not get impacted by news. I mean, you know, when you're playing this strategy, S&P fair value means nothing to Tesla here right now. S&P fair value means nothing to Netflix. Those have their own individual move news they're moving on. So the Arabs aren't, you know, worrying about those. It's the stocks without news That obviously can be impacted by fair value. Right now, we're trading up significantly in the S&Ps, and these days tend to work better. You know, your classic Don Bright fair value strategies at the open, those are hit and miss sometimes because there's so many people that were playing that for so long. It can get crowded at certain times. Sometimes they're working, sometimes they don't work. Usually there's so many fundamental traders on the open on the third Fridays that the guys doing the ARBs can actually make some pretty good money because sometimes those fundamental players can really push the prices away from where they should be. So these typically, this third Friday is usually one of my better opens. So I usually actually get quite aggressive at the opening for my day trading strategies and my arbitrage strategies on the third Friday of the month.
All right, 8:35 here, 25 minutes left in the final show of the week. As P says, I mentioned, trading at the highs of the session. We got a few more reports to go over here. We covered some big news, but we need to get to all the earnings reports as well. Let's go to a few that were after the close last night. And why don't we start JBHT? Is that a big enough stock for you, Dennis?
Sure, we can talk at JB Hunt.
Yep, J.B. Hunt here. Let's see how they did on their report. I see a Q4 here, 81 cents, does not compare to that $1.50 estimate here. Where did our sales come in for J.B. Hunt? Just a slight beat there. So how are they treating J.B.?
I think stock is trading up here, so I just try to grab you the numbers too. Yeah, it's $2.32 billion versus $2.3 billion. So it was the beat on the top. Bottom line, obviously, had some X items in there, so we'd have to dig into the report, but we don't have time to do that on the live radio show. So we'll just say the market's pricing it probably where it wants to be. It's up $5 here in the free market. I know you'll see a 104. I can tell you right now it's bid 105 heavily. You know, there's multiple bids, 105, 105, 02, 105, 04, 105, 12. So this thing wants to go above 105 here this morning. Strong into the report, strong coming out of the report. There's a lot of congestion when you start get up to 108, 109. That's where I think the stock could stall if it does open over 105. But, you know, it's a good report. Again, this market finding reasons to buy stocks.
And I'm looking, and you could see it had that vacuum area down really from 110. Really didn't take a break until it got to 95 and paused and went down. So it's a ways away from that 110 area, but you have to be aware that you had several highs. They're just below 110. So 109, really, I don't see anything to 109, 110 here as a potential resistance here in JB. And it's good. I mean, transportation, right? They probably were helped by a little bit lower oil cost and things of that nature. Let's move on to our next issue to talk about earnings. And can you believe it's taken us this long to talk about AXP here, American Express? That's trading in the red. The street is not happy with that report. And
I feel like American Express always rallies initially and then sells off. Is this not another one of those that just seems to do the same thing no matter what they report? And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm dreaming this up, but I'm just going from my memory here. I feel like it did this last report. I feel like it did it the report before. If they had okay numbers, they rallied it initially, and then 20 minutes later, it's trading in the red. I mean, they just, for whatever reason, like to sell American Express off on its earnings. I'm just trying to – do you have the numbers?
I got the report. Yes, yeah, six cent miss here. Street was looking for
– oh, what's a miss?
$1.80, and they came in
– but it rallied on the initial report. Look at the action. So bring up the after-hours chart because it was up. Okay. I remember I saw it trading up last night after the report.
All right, let me go to –
bring it up. Bring up that after-hours chart. What was the after-hours high?
The after hours high comes in.
He's trying to do multiple things because we don't have any. So he's trying to grab charts. He's trying to do his live radio show. So he's multitasking like a fiend over there. So bear with us here as Joel's trying to grab the after hours chart.
I'm going to have it here. I can do it. I know I can. You did get a big old spike here. And that spike took you over $100, 100.91.
Yeah, so you're up $1.50 on the initial headline. So that's why I was wondering, you're saying it missed. Usually, you know, you see, I have a 232. I have a beat, 232 versus $1.80 on the initial numbers. So I know you were saying, you know, on an adjusted basis, maybe it was $1.74. So the initial headline hit, and it showed 232 versus $1.80. Maybe it was a case of the devil's in the details, and everybody thought it was initial 52-cent beat. And then when he adjusted, it was $1.74. So that's where the 6-cent miss comes. So maybe it was that way the initial headline came out. But I'm looking at the way the initial headline came out, it was 232 versus $1.80. So maybe that's why, and then obviously with the adjustments, they figure out the miss after, and that's why. Sometimes the headline numbers, you got to watch this trade off those.
And that bracket, that 15-minute bracket when it came out, high was 101.75 and the low was 94.99. So big old range there, of course, right off the number, the interpretation and the misinterpretation. You're just quieting down here in the 97 handle, the lower 97 handle. The bulls and the bears are squaring off here. Just really quiet since that 4 a.m. open. I just don't like the, you know, you're taking out these lows at 98 here. And they're 97.5, 98. So I will use that as resistance. Coming back on the downside here, you did have one low in the 97 handle. And that low, I believe, was 97.25. And then things open up to under 96. So spoos are not helping it. And just real quiet consolidation here. Any technical comments on AXP?
No, let's move on. I don't want to, if you're giving technicals, I'll move on here because okay. We don't need everybody's opinion on every stock. Let's go to VF Corp. There's lots of other stocks talk about. VF Corp, VFC. What's their numbers, Joel? Because the stock's up big time.
Oh, boy. 21 cent beat, 131 versus 110. A revenue beat, $3.94 billion versus $3.87 billion. On top of that, they raised guidance. They were looking in the 368 area. From 365 to 373, they've raised that. They also raised their revenue guidance for the year. So good news on top of good news here for VFC Corp. And, I mean, how would you classify them? And, I mean, they make
this stuff.
They're
more with Ralph Lauren. Like, they're an apparel maker, I would say, more than your classic, like, you know, it's a department stores. And we you know, clarify this a little bit. Spencer, you know, helping us clarify it, too. Because I think I was just saying all retail was weak a couple of days ago. It's mainly been the big box, like the department stores, that have been weak. And some of them have bounced back, you know. So, you know, maybe, like Kohl's was weak, and it came all the way back. We know Nordstrom disappointed, but it's bouncing back there too. Macy's the only one that really isn't bouncing back yet, and they've got their own problems. But VF Corp, it seems like they're always somewhat resilient. Even when we've had disappointments in retail season before, it seems like VFC is always one that holds up better than the others. So not surprising they come out and beat the numbers and actually trading up 9% here. So VFC, nice up move here. Ralph Lauren is one that always moves with VF Corp. So if you were trading Ralph Lauren this morning, obviously be aware you're probably going to have a sympathy move to the upside and are out.
$80 is an area of interest here. You had a real bad day back in December, and your high came in right around the $80 level. You're trying to hold that. I mean, it really opens up to the upside after that, as you can see on the dailies above 80. That was the big down day, and you have a couple lows in the 80. Looks like 84.25 or 84.5 is potential. That's a long ways to go. If this thing goes into pullback area, I mean, you know, I don't know where you go with a gap fill, or I mean, it's not going to go all the way down to 73.26. Also, for your longer-term traders here, figure your 50% retracement here from that high. Looked like 96, got under 70 to 66, 30-point move, 15. 81.82 is your 50% retracement area there. So that would be a good level. Even though the spoos, like, hot, I mean, I'm just using that on a closing basis. It hardly blinked when that China news came out yesterday. So VFC, let's see if it can lead Ralph Lauren higher too. You want to do...
Let's move away from the earnings because a lot of these are smaller ones. If there's any specific company that you guys want to talk about, let us know. We're coming into earnings season. There's going to be some days that there's 200 companies reporting. We obviously can't cover them all. So if there's a specific ticker that you want to cover off the earnings, we can try to get to it. But let's right now move because there's other news, and I wanted to talk about the CVS Walmart deal here because we're getting a nice pop in CVS, a stock that has been a complete dog here for a long time. CVS getting a lift here this morning on some deal with Walmart. You have the details on that, Mr. Alcana?
I will, and pulling it up here, CVS, it has to do with Walmart here, and the news on this one is CVS Health and Walmart announced a multi-year agreement for Walmart to continue participating in the CSV Caremark Network. So that's good news. That I don't know. Was there ever rumors that this deal was, you know, was going to go off the table? I'm not sure.
I think they were having some problems with it, and it looks like they reached an agreement. So on this pharmacy contract, so that's why you're seeing the pop in CVS here this morning. I mean, Walmart's not going to have much reaction to this. They do their own. Walmart is trading up. Probably, I guess the S&Ps are trading up overall. But this is good news for CVS. CVS needed some good news. Stock has just been going down. Market has been going straight up, basically, in 2019. CVS has been going straight down. So interesting enough, yesterday you got down to 63.27. Low of the whole move is 62.81. Wow. So you're getting pretty close to that low of the move. It seems like it's paying to buy these stocks when they get near those, you know, December 24th lows. If you're getting stocks down there, it seems like you want to bounce there the first time. Now, you know, in some cases it's taken them out, especially, you know, in the cases where it's had bad news and it's whooshing through it. But when you're just not going down on nothing, seems like we're getting some bounces off of those old lows. So just keep that in mind. If you're trading any individual stock and it's getting down near those December 24th lows, there could be the potential to bounce off those lows.
I mean, if anything, it's a level to lean on, right? It's, you know, if you're going to try, you know, a swing long or, a, you know, a longer term position, you know where your out is at the lows of the moves. And, you know, there were a couple stocks that I think Twitter was one of them that, when we were having the big sell-off, you know, they didn't get to like their post-earnings lows or their November lows. So it's always good to look at things on a relative basis here. Let's go to the big news in Tesla here. This is not good news here. Cuts 7% of the workforce. Now, this doesn't make sense to me. They're going to cut 7% of the workforce in an effort to ramp Model 3 production. So I'm not sure how they're doing it, but they also recalled 4,123 cars in China over airbags containing parts made by that former defunct Takata company here. Dennis, Tesla, this is one of those days where you're glad you're not in it.
Yeah, I know. I have a love-hate. I've said this a lot of times. Whenever I don't own Tesla, I want to own it. And whenever I do own it, I don't want to own it. So it's one that I can't seem to stomach it. Even when I have a small position in it, I can't seem to stomach Tesla. I trade it, but for my investing portfolio or swing trading, it's a difficult one. And it's such a headline stock. I mean, imagine here, you know, you look at this, you can look at it technically, and it was setting up okay. You had kind of like a little cup and handle thing going, you know, it was setting up like this could actually be ready to go if you're looking at it from yesterday's chart. Bad news comes out, technicals are meaningless. And this is why I'm going to say it again and again and again. I believe you can't be a one-trick pony in this market because technicals matter until there is fundamental news. I don't care how good the chart looks like. When Tesla comes out and they're saying the cut in the workforce, stock's going down. So down 20 points. It's set up well yesterday from a technical basis, and technicals work very well in the absence of news. I know some people hate it when I say that, but that's what, you know, I believe. And obviously, you know, you have technicals afterwards. You can use technicals afterwards too. But, you know, just to say, you know, well, the chart looks good, it's going to come back because the chart looked good. Well, it doesn't look good anymore because it's down 20 bucks. So, and that's on fundamental information. So fundamentals trump technicals every single day. 300 bucks. Every time you get down to 300, you find buyers. And I'm not going to say it's going to get all the way down there, and I don't think it's getting all the way down there. I think there's going to be buy the dippers before that. The way this market is, this dip could get bought even today. But it seems like this stock is so resilient. You know, here we were at the beginning of the year, kind of had a warning, and the stock, not even, they had a warning. And stock goes from 340 down to 300. 3 days later, it's all the way back up. I mean, this stock just continues to get bought. The shorts, there's so many people. When Tesla has bad news, my Twitter stream just gets lit up with the shorts having a party. And 3 days later, it's silence because the thing keeps coming back. So it's a tough stock to play short on this. I mean, it's been a tough stock for longs too because it's really, when you look at where it's been in the last, just go to the monthlies, you know, really since 2017, we've kind of been between 250 and 380.
Yep.
So, and every time we get up to 350, 360, we find sellers. Every time we get below 300, we find buyers. So I guess you continue to play that range until it doesn't work anymore. But I still believe in the Tesla story. I still believe in Elon Musk. The wild cards like Paul LaMonica highlighted was his Musk's health. Is he going to be continue to be healthy? Can he continue to work the hours that he does? Those are all wild cards. But I don't. I think this bear thesis that they're running out of cash and they're going to be, you know, insolvent. I think that doesn't hold water anymore. The stock, it obviously had a positive quarter. It's moving towards cash flow positive. I don't believe in that thesis at all anymore. The thesis that I believe is, you know, if you're a bear, is I'm concerned, you know, what happens if Elon Musk, you know, all of a sudden, you know, gets, you know, health problems here because he's, you know, the toll on his body. But I am a believer in Elon Musk. It's a valuation issue for me for Tesla, always was. Well, I'm not in it, but I like the story still. It's got a story. I think I eventually this stock actually makes new all-time highs, but I think it's going to be a rough road to get there.
Gene Munster, Loop Ventures, he says Tesla will survive and ride the EV growth. He's doesn't shake his view in the stock. Reducing the headcount by 7% does not change his long-term view. Note that Tesla increased headcount by 30% last year to ramp up Model 3 production. Manufacturing efficiencies will allow the company to reduce headcount while increasing output. So that's just a quick note from Mr. Munster. Maybe we'll try and get him on next week, though I'm sure he's ramping up here for earnings season as well. Dennis, what other hot stocks you want to talk about?
Okay, we'll jump back over here. There's all kinds of stuff on my list here. I just got to let's jump over to ratings. We'll quickly go through this because we only got 10 minutes left. Chevron catches an upgrade at UBS. You've got Fiserv, FISV, which resilient as it is, that stock actually catching an upgrade here this morning. Oppenheimer came all the way back from those lows to when it dipped on the obviously acquisition of FDC. KMB, Kimberly Clark, catching an upgrade at JP Morgan. We already talked about this again. Let's do some technicals on Signet because we just touched on it with Paul. And these people are interested in this one in the chat as well. Signet cut to sell at Citigroup. They're late to the party here. I'm not a fan of Signet at all. I'll just say this. This is a stock that I believe is, you know, I kind of hinted with Paul, is, you know, got major issues here because I do believe millennials and the younger generation is not wearing as much fancy jewelry as they did in the past. So they're fighting an uphill battle. I think when we look at Signet 3-4 years from now, I think it's a lot lower than this. It could even be in single digits unless they can figure themselves out. But that being said, if you're coming here shorting it now or selling it now, I mean, just had 25, 28% decline. This could bounce, you know, 10%, 10, 15% in your face. And you'd still have to kind of hold on because, you know, you're still in this overall downtrend. So it's a little overextended to the sell side, but that doesn't mean it can't continue. I mean, this could be 23, 22. It's kind of like a coin flip here. Does the pressure continue, take us down to 22, 21, 20, or do we get a bounce before that? We get a bounce eventually here, but usually when these things have bad news, they don't bounce back right away. So if I was leaning on, you know, what to do today, I'd rather be a seller than a buyer. But I'd be cautious because you can get, you know, these little mini squeezes even, you know, in the worst stocks.
And, boy, you go back to some monthly lows here, folks, and that's what really the only thing you can do here.
How far are you going to go back on this one?
December of 2009, Dennis.
Financial crisis.
You had a deal at 23.01, and actually, I do wear watches. I got like two or three of them. They're really old, so I'm not really boosting that market here. But 23.01 was your low in December of 2009, and then you got to go back to September of that same year where you went down to 22.20. So boy oh boy, I don't know if we'll see those levels today. You're taking out some major monthly support that you had. It just kind of closed right on it yesterday. The stock is just in trouble. I don't know. Is there any other jewelers out there that are publicly traded? Do you know, Dennis?
Well, Tiffany's.
Oh, yeah.
But Tiffany's got some other businesses as well. But Tiffany's isn't your, like you think about what Paul just said, and I agree with him. He's saying, Jared, these are like, this is high-end jewelry store. Tiffany's, you know, it's nice stuff too, mall-based. But I think, you know, you look at Signet, and a lot of their operators are even higher. And I just don't see, like, I don't know. Like, it's just that people just don't. They wear jewelry still, but they're not wearing the expensive, flashy stuff. This was my argument against gold. I mean, really, you know, I've argued against gold for a long time. Been wrong here in the last few months because gold obviously had a rally. I think a lot of that has just been to do with the market being weak and gold being defensive. But I just see like this long-term, like, you know, like if you're thinking gold and silver and people love jewelry and they, you know, I just don't see them wearing it as much as they used to. So the core demand for it isn't there like it was maybe 30 or 40 years ago. Is it still a safe haven? For sure. I mean, when you get times of trouble, people flee to gold, and that's what, you know, could keep gold up. But you look at Signet, that's not the case here. They're making jewelry, bringing it in. I mean, they're kind of like at ground zero here if you really believe that, you know, people just aren't interested in wearing the really flashy jewelry anymore.
All right, let's talk pot stocks here a little bit. Frank in the Google chat,
so really, hot.
Yeah, he still wants us to. He wants us to talk about ACB, Aurora Cannabis here. All right, well, I'll just give my quick comments, and we'll get yours as well. The only news I'm seeing came out at 8:24, and just High Times was talking about the marijuana ETF soaring here to start 2019. This stock is was this one that had the super bad news, Dennis, that it was a fraud company?
Afria.
Okay. For me, I'll just look at this.
And that was just an opinion piece from a short seller. Nothing improved. Okay. So I'm careful with what we say about stuff like that. I mean, Afria, obviously, you know, that's where I was from, Leamington, Ontario. So I know that company, you know, at least I know of it very well. A lot of people down there have investments in it. And there was obviously the big, you know, short seller case against it saying they're doing some fraudulent stuff. None of that's been proven. It's all just allegations here. So we don't know any of that yet. ACB, different company completely, Aurora Cannabis up near Toronto. This is the only one that I do own of all the pot stocks there. It's got a little bit of a short leash with me. I know valuation is always a thing for me, so it's a speculative buy for me. I'm in it right. I'm up a little. I was up a little bit more a couple of days ago before they did the convertible offering. So that's why I was down yesterday. They did a big convertible offering. It tried to bounce back a little bit, but then leaked those gains back. So, you know, obviously that's just dilutive, and that's why, you know. But they were hopefully raising the money for good things.
It did, and you can see when it got knocked down here. I guess if you're looking, for me, the way I look at it is really that three-day high is an important level to clear. That comes in at 7.7. Where did your three-day high come in? It's 7.52. This is called 7.50, your major resistance, because you had a high at 7.41 and 7.52. So that's going to be the next leg on the upside. Frank, the other thing that I would look at here is you had a low of the move here. Where did that come in at? That came in at 4.58. And then, you know, it's basically been a 3-point move, a buck and a half, you know, $6 area. I mean, if you're looking, if you want to sit through a pullback to the 50% area, that would be your area of support. But getting above and holding at 750, that would be your big area of resistance. Canopy Growth has made a nice move too, huh? That's come up. It had some news when I was gone, right? Something with Constellation Brands, or do you remember that?
Well, it just took off. I mean, and all the pot stocks really did take off. Obviously, we already knew the Constellation, but what the headline was that really drove it, they were on Mad Money. So, and I don't know if you saw this, Joel, but Constellation Brands, they did it like this both CEO of CGC, Canopy Growth, and CEO of Constellation Brands were on Mad Money together. And the Constellation Brands was just talking up the CGC, saying he thinks this is a $1 billion business. They're big time believers in it. And that's really what kickstarted this rally for like 4 or 5 days. There was, it started like right before that, because actually, you know, when they say they're going to be on Mad Money, when they advertise it, it sometimes gets a lift just off of, you know, that it's going to be on Mad Money. And then it got the lift, and then there was lots of bullish comments. And that's where the Constellation Brand CEO came out and said that he had bought of his own stock over a million shares. And it kind of implied in the open market, we later found out that it was actually an options exercise, so it wasn't, you know, as bullish as you might think. But anyway, so there's lots of saga drama off of Mad Money from all these stocks. But the pot stocks have just got hot again. I mean, they were beat up very much, obviously, in December. It took a little while in January, a few days to get kickstarted, and they have. So, I mean, these were stocks that were very hot in 2018. We saw, you know, people come in to a lot of things were hot in 2018, the last couple of weeks, buy it up. And we've seen Canopy Growth, you know, obviously all the other ones too, catching a bid here in the last week and a half.
Let's move on to another story stock here. We're getting some questions here about PCG. And Brent, I was having a little discussion with the Brentster about this yesterday. And, you know, someone's like, this has to go to zero, you know, and I'm like, well, it may go to zero. It might go to $10. It might go to $12. Doesn't go straight down or straight up.
What are you talking about? Which stock?
PCG.
Oh, okay. You're so fast, Joel. I can't even keep up with you. You should be like a high frequency trader here.
I should be an auctioneer, huh?
I mean, stock, nothing goes straight to zero. You're right. Go. Okay. So I just didn't know which stock you're talking about. I thought you were still talking pot stocks.
No, no. PCG, you had that low at 507. That was on Tuesday. Now you're getting a little bit of a rebound. I mean, just for the there's some value to its assets, right? I mean, California needs electricity. Last time I checked. So I don't know. If someone's going to come in, I don't know if it's the state government or another utility or something. I don't know. And who knows what the actual liabilities are here. If you're trying to swing trade and you think it's going to rebound, just remember, 507 was the low of the move. And you had a nice little pop up yesterday. I don't know. There must've been some good news on it to 832. 6:31.
There was a headline, and there's so many headlines. Oh, what was it? I'm trying to go for my memory there. I can't remember, but there's a million headlines of PCG every day here. If you're buying it here at $6.56, and there was an analyst, it was analyst commentary that was saying that they didn't think bankruptcy was necessary here. I think that helped it a little bit there, but the company has already said they're preparing for bankruptcy here. I mean, if you're buying here at $6.56, you think there's going to be like some last second Hail Mary coming and it's going to save the company. Maybe that's the case. I don't like, betting on Hail Marys. So that's why I'm out on PCG. I'm not going to short it here either, because that Hail Mary comes, it could be a 10, 15 bucks in your face in a hurry. But I think you're betting on it here at 656. And even when companies go bankrupt, a lot of people think the stocks are immediately zero. They usually get down under a dollar, but then they usually hang out on the pinks for a while. And then, is there going to be something left for equity holders at the end of the day? There's always a lot of questions around that stuff. So just to clarify, because the stock goes bankrupt doesn't mean the equity immediately goes to zero. And, obviously if you're shorting it, there's going to be borrow fees and the stuff involved. So that's why stocks, have trouble going right to zero too, because, the shorts aren't going to come in on a stock at a dollar. And short if you got huge fees to borrow those things. So there's lots of considerations in the market structure behind it all. Why stocks don't immediately trade to zero when they say they're going bankrupt.
Blue Mountain Capital Management sent a letter to Pacific Gas and Electric urging the company not to declare bankruptcy. That was some news early yesterday morning. I will say just got gleaming at the dailies here. Double bottom 631. So someone has stepped up from that panic 507 low to 631. So that's an area of interest trading up here a little bit in the pre-market. Going to wrap things up here for Friday's show. S&Ps continue to be strong. As Spinner noted, we are trading above yesterday's high, which was 2645.5. Pre-market high stands at 49.75. I don't see any reason why we can't test our December 14th high at 2652.75. Things really open up on the upside after that. Coming back on the downside, boy, I guess mid-range on the session. What do we've had so far? We've had a 17-point range, so half of that, 26, 41, 42 mid-range. Could you be your first area of support? So
I just want to say a couple things here before. Sure. I know you were getting ready to wrap up here. Two things. One, Netflix is coming all the way back. I mean, we're only down $4 here now. The stock wants to go green. I said in the chat last night I thought it could get green. It stabilized so much and fast money knocked down that I started thinking, okay, well, maybe it's not going to happen. I don't know. My initial thoughts might have been right here because the stock is resilient and bouncing back. Gene Munster negative on it. Obviously, Carter was negative on it. You had multiple people on Fast Money afterwards negative on it, and it's coming rallying right in their face. So Netflix is just resilient here. I think it's going green today. Imbalances are all buy, big time buy. Again, we're option expiration, so things are going to change, but the reason we're starting to get a big lift here in the S&P, or at least lifting a few more points in the last few minutes, everything just went hard buy imbalances for the open. Again, you are on option expiration. Those can change quickly. We could be all negative by the time we open at 9:30. But as of right now, the market would open much stronger if these buy imbalances hold.
Dennis will be here on Monday. It's President's Day in the U.S. So Dennis will, we're going
to. Back to holiday. Is it holiday in Canada? Wait. Getting confused. No, it's actually.
What do you have? What do you have? Prime Minister Day?
Oh, yeah, the family day. I think that's in February, though. So
Okay.
Canadians like to have a holiday whenever the Americans have a holiday, so we make holidays up then.
Okay, so no show on Monday. I may pop in the chat here and take a look, take a glance at the futures. If you want any futures levels, pop in there. Tuesday, we'll be back. We'll be back to a full crew. Maybe we can go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with the full complement with Spencer, me, and you.
I know we haven't had all three of us on in forever. You guys just are on vacation all the time.
Well, Spencer was down at the cannabis conference. Yeah, I know. And he needed a little bit of break here. He called me last night and he's asked if I could run the show solo. And I would give myself maybe like a B minus for today. But a few hiccups, but we got the information to you that you
we had a get. Show.
We had a show, and I'm working on it, folks. So have a great trading day. Have a great weekend, 3-day weekend. Enjoy. We'll be back with you on Tuesday morning.